Jesus' name. We thank you for everyone here. Thank you for grace. Thank you for answered prayers. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Okay, hoping we're having a very good day. And I'm moving quickly into our study for the evening. And we have been having conversations around backsliding. This is quite an old term, but I think I agree with its use, you know, within the Christian diaspora. It would normally depict a Christian who slips off backwards, or who falls back into what they have been drawn from. We looked at the concept of backsliding, and then we were paying attention to how that the Christian could identify some of the causes so that we could avoid them. I believe that it is very essential that we get to be determined to stay with the Lord, but trusting that His strength is going to be available for us all through the time, all through the season, all through the way. So there are things that cause us to go back. We looked at how that lust was one of the issues that could cause us to slip back and to lose out. We spoke about emptiness. We also took some time paying clear attention to these two. These are the two main things we took time looking at. Emptiness, lust. And I believe that it's very essential that we continue on this same conversation. Another we'll be looking at very shortly this evening will be shallowness. Shallowness. In Luke chapter 8, verse 13, he tells us how that there are some that receive the word with joy, and they have no roots. Right, so they are shallow. Shallow. You see, when a root is not deep to the ground, the least distraction that comes, the least wind that's blown is uprooted. So in Luke 8, actually, verse 13 is where our emphasis is going to be, but we could start reading from verse 11. Now, the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Okay, let me not take you, let me just patiently take the whole scripture. 8, verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seeds. Jesus was telling a parable. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured. There were some that fell by the wayside. And for those that fell by the wayside, immediately the birds of the air devoured it. There were some also that fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprung up and yielded a crop 100-fold. Some fell on good ground, and then they were able to yield. Some fell on thorns, and the thorns choked it. Verse 9, I'm jumping. Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does the parable mean?" Verse 10, and he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God, right? So Jesus is using the analogy of the parable of the sower, of a farmer, to explain why people backslide, why people fall off, why the word of God is not productive in people's lives. So verse 12, those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and then be saved. Of course, he's making reference to salvation, but it's predominantly true even after salvation. It's true after salvation. So the enemy comes in immediately. Have you seen that there are times where somebody can be hearing the word of God, or maybe you've experienced this before. You're hearing the word of God, and at the moment you're hearing the word of God, you feel like, wow, this thing is true. I have faith. They said, I'm healed. The power of God is real. I don't know if it's good. I'm fine. God provides my needs. I believe it. Jesus is on my side. Then immediately it almost seems like when the sermon stops playing and you go out to go and do something, feels like starts to come back again. That is the bed coming down to devour the seed. Wow. The bed is coming to devour the seed, lest you should believe, and so you can have the miracle of whatever it is you're trusting for. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear it, right, receive the word with joy. Oh yeah, glory, glory, glory to God, glory. They're excited about the word. Yeah, we are going to work. Yeah, glory. The rest of our lives is the best of our lives. Yeah, we are going. They receive it with joy. You see them as the word is going, they are smiling, they are happy, excited, they are galloping the word. The Bible says, and these have no root. So they believe for a while, and in the time of a test, I would like to just switch the word temptation for test. In the time of a test, they just fall off. God, you said you will never leave me, nor forsake me. God, why? They forget the word. They forget what the word is saying. So they believe it for a while. And in time, it falls off. Because they have no roots. He says, these have no roots. They are not rooted in the word. And I've already taught you on meditation. Meditation is how you get the word rooted on the inside of you. So the power of a sower gives reasons why the word could not grow. Some fell on rocky soil. Some, they did not stay deep down. They did not give themselves to meditation and to the thinking and to the belief of God's word. So when a problem comes up, they just get off the path. When they are tested, they believe it for a while. They believe that serving God is necessary for a while. They believe that the healing power of God is true for a while. They believe that the supernatural is real for a while. They believe that miracles happen for a while. For a while. And you see, Jesus is making us understand that temptation, tests, is what really proves routines. Tests. When you've done something and it did not work, tests. It proves whether you really believe or not. Can you still say, I will still trust, I believe? Tests. There are tests that will come. Let me tell you something. Everyone will be tested. Everyone. Nobody is devoid of temptations or tests. When you don't have money, what do you do? When they call and tell you your father is sick, what do you do? When they call and tell you that something has happened, what do you do? You're trusting God for something, it didn't happen. What do you do? You're looking for a job, it never came. What do you do? That's the test. Everyone will be tested. Somebody you loved passed. What do you do? These are issues of life. And issues of life, they happen to all, good or bad. They happen to everybody. Something, some way, sometimes happens to everyone. Everyone is going to have an issue of life. Something will happen at a point that's going to be a test of your faith. You failed at something you had to do. You did not excel. Or you were supposed to travel. It didn't happen. You were supposed to become this. It didn't happen. These are all tests. So, how rooted you are. How rooted. Let me tell you something. Whenever something happens to you, don't look at God and blame God. They happen to all. Don't forget whether good or bad. I've had some people say, look at me. I've never hurt anyone. I've never done this to anybody. But look at what is happening to me. Look at what happened to me. I've never done this to anybody. I'm a good person. It happens to all, good or bad. It happens to all. It happens to all. But you see, when it happens, the child of God is going to stay afloat. I don't know, in my teachings 2 days ago and 3 days ago, I've been sharing with you visions. I had a vision, which rarely happens. Maybe it's just supposed to be so. And I saw myself in the middle of the sea. And I was beating the water, beating the water, beating the water, beating the water. I go down under the water. It's like I'm drinking the water. I come up out of the water. I beat the water. I was fighting to stay afloat. So that was the whole scene. I came out of vision. I said, hey, what is this? And the Lord says, would you still want to go in that direction? Would you still want to worry about it? Some years ago, would you still want to worry about it? And I said, no, I don't think I want to drown. And many today are drowning. They cannot breathe because they've chosen not to stay afloat. He says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, our God will lift up a standard against him. You know, he comes in like a flood, but God's going to elevate a source that you can stand on so you don't drown. Every flood that intends to make you shallow, not deep, and to make you lose out, you will not drown in Jesus' name. And you know how he comes in, lifting up his standard? Oh my God, joy is the resistance. Acting on the word is the resistance. He says, don't worry. You will have to act on it. Let me show it to you. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19. KJV. Isaiah 59, verse 19. And then AMP is quite interesting also on that. Isaiah 59, 19. Let's hold on with the comments so the scriptures can stay. Thank you. Isaiah 59, 19. This is God's promise to you. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of God shall lift up a standard against him. It says he will come in like a rushing stream, which the breath of the Lord drives the overwhelming enemy. When there's a large and overwhelming force of opposition that appears, like a flood rushing in, the Spirit of the Lord will stand against it, provide protection, provide resistance, provide strength, and provide defense. So the reasons why many are shaking is because they are not deep in the word of God. They are shallow. So the least large and overwhelming force or wind or position that appears, they just, And sometimes storms can be hard. Yeah. If you have a season of your life where there's, you know, the hurricanes, they have names. One of the deadliest of them, I think, is the Hurricane Katrina. They have names. So let's say you are experiencing a Hurricane Katrina in your life. There's Hurricane Katrina. There's Hurricane Audrey. There's Hurricane Camille. Hurricane Helene. And this one, when it comes, it sweeps off a whole city. It sweeps off everywhere. Sweeps everywhere. Can kill like 1,000. When Hurricane Katrina, I'm told in 2005, it killed close to 1,392 people at a go and cost over 201 billion damage. Yeah, billion, not million, dollars. The last time it came, the deadliest in U.S. history. So sometimes there are hurricanes like that. Yeah, sometimes it's just maybe somebody was admitted at the hospital. Maybe that one was just a wind blow. But when you hear that somebody is not around again, That is quite a heavy blow. Something that you were trying to do did not turn out well. Quite a hurricane, maybe Audrey or Camille or Helene. The Katrina comes in very strong. You can't pay your school fees, you can't go to this, you can't do that. You can't be here, everywhere is blowing. But you see, the Lord is going to raise a standard. He's going to raise a standard. He's going to raise a standard. He's going to cause an elevation in a way such that the storms will not swallow you. But I'm telling you that the way to this is to ensure that you are not shallow. You are deep, so that when the storm comes, you'll still be standing. So many people don't know God. They cannot even explain the things what they do. They don't know why they belong to a particular church. They don't know why they speak in tongues. And that's why, for those of you who have been around for a while, I've been telling you, we are supposed to grow in understanding. Do you see that? Yes, we're supposed to grow in understanding. So that understanding is what makes us really solidified in the things that we want to do. Is that they face a little criticism and then they get confused. They have no defense. They are not sure. Then our pastors of today. Then you see that someone just picks off pastors of today and the person starts to peddle it. The person starts to relate it to their life. Meanwhile, your pastor is not like that. Saying nowadays we don't trust pastors of today. That's silly. If you don't have a pastor that you can trust, not everybody does not have a pastor they can trust. If you don't go to church because someone hurt you, don't say that all churches are like that. And you don't pick one thing and you smear it on every other people. In fact, it's one of the traits of being hurt or being bitter. It's like you just pick everybody, you box them under the kennel, you try to cover them there. Say, the reasons why we speak in tongues. I've been really doubting it. Shabalaba, laba, laba, shonto, lobo, lobo. I don't even understand. You let's do it. If we don't do it, they'll say that we are not respectful. See, they're shallow. How can you be relating respect to tongues? See, and nowadays, in Sora Maba, Sikan Kwan or Moji, Okwa, and away, to 300 cities, and 500 cities, and 600, and 1,000, and 2,000, and that could be me, Kosovo Biho, and also for the catcher, and say, Mintoe, hey, Nina, it could see 5,000 Ghana cities. As of our Amaba, that's stupid. Then you see another Christian jumps on it. Meanwhile, he has not gone to church in the last 7 years. That's why I've even stopped church. They don't even know why they give offerings. They don't even know why they should give to their pastor. Why is pastor saying we should give to him? You see, the moment I also had understanding as to why members should give to their pastor, I started to say, then that is really dangerous if I don't teach my people to give. Because I have understanding. And I know what it means. So I'm like, you know those times, I used to be like, oh, it's not good to teach loyalty. It's just not too. As I grew in understanding, I was like, okay, this is what it means. This is why Because there is understanding. So when you're not understanding, which signifies depth in it, you can easily be swayed. You can easily be swayed. You know, there are some people, it just took their friend to tell them that this discipleship thing you are doing, I don't think it's good. At least everybody should be allowed to know God for themselves. Nobody should be forced to and fro. And you'll be shocked that that statement, this discipleship thing, is some way, I think everybody should be allowed to know God for themselves. Then they leave the whole concept of it in pursuit of what somebody just said to them because they were not deep and they were very shallow. So, you're going to be careful. You see, the way I see that pastor, your pastor is a very young pastor. And somebody just says, I'm looking for a pastor that's quite mature. Because they don't know why they should have a pastor. That's it. And Christianity today, Christianity today, Christianity to tomorrow, Christianity to the next day, Christianity to the previous day. You see that someone is making a decision based on what somebody else is saying because they are shallow. Their roots are not deep. They have no understanding into why they do what they do, why they're supposed to go ahead and do what they're supposed to do. They have no understanding. But I trust that the Lord is granting you understanding. There are many who don't have a conviction on their own. They ride on people's convictions. So when they see that you are serving God passionately, they are also serving God. The moment you stop serving God, they stop serving God. You say, the person I was following has stopped serving God. So listen to me. Never stop serving God. Are you listening? Never stop serving God. The day you get to hear your pastor stop serving God, continue serving God. Continue serving God. Don't stop serving God. God is a constant here. Nobody is. Yes, there was help. But that has to continue. And thank God, that day will never come in Jesus' name. So, you see that people are just, all over the place. No convictions. The day you stop, you see your disciple has stopped serving God. You face your front and serve God. Get a conviction on your own. And that day will never come to you in Jesus' name. So you're going to be rooted. You're going to be rooted. There are some people who are in Christ's family today. You should get a conviction for being here. Get a conviction for being here. Don't be here because somebody brought you. That's lame. You respect the fact that the person brought you in. But it doesn't mean that their exit should be your exit. You love that. You honor that. So let no one's exit be your exit. Let no one's drop-off be your drop-off. Get a conviction on your own. I don't like to say this, but almost everybody who was around me is not serving the Lord as I am. Yeah. Some are doctors, some are this. They are not serving. When we even talk about ministry, I say, Charlie, man of God. Meanwhile, we started together. We started seeing together. We started hearing together. We started flowing together. We started being excited. We started jumping walls and going for prophetic meetings on campus in SS days together. But your stopping should not mean I should stop. We used to jump walls. There was a prophet in Takra, they called Prophet Tobias. It's those days. He's still around. So jump walls and go to his place. Go for meetings, go for services. And then today you're not there. Does not mean that I should not be there. And the funny thing is, when I talk to them, I still call them man of God, even though they are not doing anything relating to God. But I still respect that. I still respect the hand of God upon them. I saw in those days. So you get a conviction on your own. Your mother picks up an issue with a pastor. Does not mean you should pick up an issue with a pastor. You're not being wise. Are you listening? You're not being wise. Your father has an issue with churches. Does not mean you should have an issue with churches. You're not being smart. You are being too shallow. Your auntie spoke about how in 2002 some pastors stole their money. Does not mean pastors will steal your money. That's why you have to find yourself in a good church. And thank God this is a good church. It's the best church in the world. Yes, a good church. See, why is he saying, shut up there and listen to what I'm telling you. We are saying it's, like, it's the best church in the world. Are you the one coming to ask us what we mean by that? So because there is no depth, are you listening? And that's why people always end up becoming something. You see that sometimes, even when it comes to these church and cults, for example, maybe somebody goes to join a demonic cult. Sometimes you'll be shocked that the person that brought you in has joined something, has gone to see a malam, has gone to see you don't go. Your father has gone to see what your mother has gone to see. Your mother says you should go and see someone here, do one or two things, pass here. It's not anything. Yame woho, weso woho, yemfani nam fra fra. Let's do it together. No, it's wrong. It's wrong. You have a conviction. Are you listening? You have a conviction. Some of you, some Jehovah Witness will just come and stand there and say that, you people, why do you believe in tongues? Jesus, why? What's your belief? You're already believing what they are telling you. I met somebody who told me, I don't mind being a Muslim. And I said, Jesus. My heart sunk. Sunk, I'm telling you. Why? Because I'm in love. What a weak conviction. Because you are in love. You don't mind. Right? No. We're going to have depths. Are you listening? We're going to have depths. 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 You better stay unmarried. You better do. And be happy doing so. If he left with one Muslim, I'm telling you, you don't get married. One Muslim. And I said, even if he's left with one in the whole world, if you are a guy, go and castrate, become a eunuch. Don't. Like, don't see options of the devil as options. Don't consider options of the devil. Like you say, you want to stop serving God because of what? No. Don't stop serving God. Are you listening? So it's one of the reasons why people backslide is that they are not rooted. It's not deep to its root. And so they end up becoming problems. Christ family, will we be shallow or we are going to be deep rooted believers? And it shows in some things. If I should tell you that, hey, God has told me that we should sit under trees for services. You see that some people will start saying that, our white shoe, get dirty. So all the offerings we give, what do they use it for? All the offerings, what do they use it for? They can't even buy a chair. Come on, prayer, you stand, sir. One prayer will bring it. One prayer. You stand, sir. You can't even buy a chair. Why chair? They can't even buy it. The last time I asked them, they said it was 65. So are you telling me that you can't buy white chair? At least buy 20 white chairs so that we can sit down. It's come on, white chair. They can't buy. At evangelism, they'll send us up to some place and they'll leave. There's no light there. And they'll be there. And they'll be preaching and they'll be standing. These people, they are not serious people. Come on, white chair. You can't buy. I even asked for some chair. Oh, some chair, quite there's easy. 35 cedis. At least 35 cedis. You'll be able to sit down. You think I don't know what you think in your minds? Come on, bulb. They don't have bulb. We should put bulb. At least we should develop. We should grow. As a ministry, every church grows, so we should grow. Shallow. Go to China and see. A man gave there's a documentary in China. I'm sure some of you have seen it. I'll share it with you. Where they meet for church. It's scary. The man said, and they sometimes can be there for 10 hours, 11 hours, 12 hours. Packed like sardines. And they said the stench in those 12 hours, but they are there having meetings and services. Today, I would say, I had a man of God said, now this, if you don't have air conditioning, this in your church, the people will not come. I said, well, it depends on what you are training the people for. I didn't say it to him, but I said it to myself. I don't train my people to see things like that. I don't train my people to be luxurious. To see that church has to have an air conditioning. If it's there, fine. If we have to put it in for you, that's fine. Doesn't have to be there. How many of you in your rooms there's air conditioning? Tell me. Lift up your hands. And let's see you. Aside those who have, let me see your house. Your house is air conditioning. Yeah. Look at me talking like this. My house, my own house, there's air conditioning in my house. Few of you have no air conditioning in your room. Many of you use standing fans or ceiling fans. Either of the case, they're still fan. Yeah. I'm even saying that air conditioning doesn't matter. I had an air conditioning in my room. It's just because I moved. Now I don't have. But now in my room, I don't have air conditioning. Yes, so we all don't have air conditioning in our room. So why do you want to come to church and you want to have an air conditioning in your room? Let me see the chairs you have in your room. Let me see the chairs you have in your room. Some of you don't even have chairs. You sit on the floor. You see, the chairs are too hard. We need soft chairs. Especially when pastor preaches and teaches for at least some hours. We has to consider. Plastic chairs don't work. Shallow Christians. How many of you have chairs? Soft chairs in your room, you tell me. Be honest with yourself. This one I want to see. Like, you have a certain Indian style chair. Like, no. I'm talking about Indian style or soft chair. Hey, everybody, if you don't have, don't comment. Everybody, keep quiet. Keep quiet here. Everybody, nobody's coming. Yes, the person that has soft Indian chairs or comfortable chair that you can relax very well. Hey, keep quiet. Everybody shouldn't talk. Okay. 1, 2. No. I said nobody should comment. Hold on. Those who have type, I have soft, comfortable, back saving. Let me count them. Everybody should keep quiet. 1, 2, 3. Please. 4, 5. Continue. I have 5, 6. Type. 7. Soft chair. I'm not talking about some useless chair. I'm not saying useless. I'm talking about chairs that make you really comfortable. Don't say I have. If you don't, chairs that when you sit inside, you can sleep inside, and your back will not hurt. Your buttocks will not hurt. You feel like you have slept on a chair. Okay, 6, 7, in your room. 7. Okay. 8. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Just tell me if you do. Just tell me. And I'm not saying if you don't, it means there's something wrong with you. But I mean, 7 out of 72. The rest of you, what do you sit on? You sit on a... I mean, let's just be honest with God and let's not put pressure on ourselves. let's be honest with God. Let's just make life very good and very interestingly simple for ourselves, and we are full of joy, we are excited, we are happy, we are not too comparative. You know, and what I'm telling you is that God is going to make you great. Yeah, God is going to make you great. Very soon, you have all manner of chairs. Chairs that are, you say, the chair, the sofa in my room is $20,000. Because $20,000 may be like just a tip of the water for you, but that is it. Yes, but as of now, you shouldn't think like that. So don't listen to people when they have very careless things to say. When you make the analysis, if you are smart and you make the analysis, you realize that what you are saying is not true. It's not true. So don't be shallow. When somebody says something, why are you giving your money a lot to church? Why? It's not true. Why are you praying too much? Don't listen to anything that you say. Don't follow your mothers. We love them. We learn. Say, hey, now there's a bubrumu ekosia ensio oyala eji omai. Dinia ye say, and then they'll bring it home. And you are following. You're also following. Because you are not deep on what the word of God says. The Lord is granting you depth so you will not sway off the path in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. I mean, follow them on the good things, but on the things that you don't follow, we thank you for everyone listening here. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're gaining depth. When somebody chooses not to have faith in God, you have faith in God. And do not be apologetic about having faith in God. Don't be apologetic. Thank you for everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen.